This is Locked On Eagles. What's going on, everybody? Close the door behind you. Let's get ready to get locked into the Philadelphia Eagles. Louis DiBiase joining you on this late night edition of the podcast, recording here on Thursday, September 12th. We're only 3 days away. Well, I mean, if you're counting, let's not count Thursday. We got Friday and Saturday, and then Sunday night football, Eagles Falcons week two already here. That's what's awesome about, well, I wouldn't even say awesome, but during the football season, it just goes by so quick, right? Because I feel like, you know, it was just yesterday that the Eagles were playing the Redskins in the season opener. So the weeks are going to fly by here, and the Eagles are getting ready for a big matchup on the road, primetime football in Atlanta, to take on the Falcons at 0-1. We're going to get into some elements of Eagles-Falcons from a Carson Wentz standpoint. I've been kind of doing a Carson Wentz-themed pod each Thursday. I want to do Wentz Wednesdays, but our flagship crossover Wednesdays won't allow it. So gotta commit to that. And on Thursdays, I think a lot of the time I'm gonna try to find something to talk about with Carson Wentz, because he is the franchise quarterback, and as talented as this roster is, it really is still ride and die with number 11. So I have some thoughts on Wentz in segment 2 and 3 when it comes to this primetime football game where he's taking on that Atlanta defense. So we'll get into that coming up on today's edition of the show. We also got into a deeper preview, some matchups to watch, a look at the past matchups of the Eagles and Falcons, because you know, of course, last year week one, the goal line stand to kick off the NFL season, the divisional round game in 2017, another goal line stand. These Eagles-Falcons games have really given both fan bases heart attacks the past two matchups. So me and Aaron Freeman of Locked On Falcons, we got into it on Crossover Wednesday, a deeper preview. So you can check that out on any of our podcast providers or on LockedOnEagles.com, or check out Aaron Freeman and Locked On Falcons on Twitter to find that. And we'll continue to get into more Eagles-Falcons stuff tomorrow and Saturday. We're basically churning out now, ladies and gentlemen, like 5 to 6, maybe sometimes even 7 podcasts a week. So get them ready. Make sure you're subscribed on the podcast app that you listen, so you get them immediately downloaded into your phone. So when you wake up, you're getting ready to go to work, or you're coming home, getting the kids, you can listen to me, Gino, and Lars. Segment one here, what I want to get into with our lead story, brought to you by DoorDash. Our listeners, by the way, can get $5 off their first order of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and enter the promo code LOCKEDON. A little trade speculation I want to get into here. It's never too early to do that, right? Of course, we love doing that in the offseason during the draft process and free agency, because even when free agency hits, you know, you saw the Eagles trade for DeSean Jackson. The Eagles love to make moves, and I feel like the NFL has really followed suit, and the entire NFL now is trading a lot more than they have, you know, in their history of the league. So something right now, though, we can get into with the regular season. The Eagles, Howie Roseman is still... he's still busy at work here, and there's a big name now on the open market that he really needs to consider. So I was kind of in on Jadeveon Clowney. I would have been cool with giving up what the Seahawks gave up, for sure. A third-round pick and a Kamu Grugier-Hill-level player. Absolutely, I would have did that in a heartbeat. But at the same time, I was like, I'm not really going to be too upset if they don't do it, because he is a free agent next year, and the Eagles already have Derek Barnett, Brandon Graham, Vinny Curry. So I thought overall it would make sense if the Eagles just wanted to hang tight and not give up a lot of assets for potentially a rental player, especially if they didn't want to give him that big contract. But I was okay with it. Now there's a player that, for me, I'm all in on it, because it makes sense for now. It makes sense for the future. It would just be the perfect match, and it's Dolphins safety Minka Fitzpatrick. The Eagles should be all in on this trade. The Dolphins reportedly tonight, Thursday night, have given Minka Fitzpatrick permission to seek a trade. There was a report after Sunday's blowout where the Dolphins got destroyed by the Baltimore Ravens that multiple players were seeking trades because they did not want to be a part of a tanking team. Well, it looks like Minka Fitzpatrick was one of those players after just 1 year with the Dolphins. Remember, he was a rookie, first-round pick, top 15 in the 2018 draft, coming out of Alabama, seen as one of the better safety prospects over the past 5 years. Now, after just 1 year, he's on the trade market. For me, first off, I don't understand why the Dolphins are trading him. I don't even get that. It doesn't really help the rebuild to trade a young star safety, right? In his early 20s. If the team is this bad, he won't really impact the win-loss column as a safety. If your quarterback, offensive line, just if your whole team is as bad as Miami is, Micah Fitzpatrick is not going to get you wins or losses. So first off, it doesn't make sense from a Dolphins perspective, but if I'm the Eagles, even if the Dolphins want a first-round pick, I'm in on that. Again, 1 year in the league, that's it. The Eagles still have control of Fitzpatrick contractually for 4 more years if they deal for him, right? Because as a first-round pick, you get that fifth-year option. But also at the same time, safety is going to be the biggest need when it comes to the Eagles' draft next year. They have a lot of the core intact, so I don't think there's going to be a lot of immediate needs next year. But one that could be an immediate need is safety. With Rodney McLeod only on a one-year contract, they could be looking to upgrade that position. An aging player, Malcolm Jenkins, is also aging. They might want to find the heir apparent to him as that do-it-all safety. And Micah Fitzpatrick has both cornerback experience and safety experience like Jenkins has. So I just think he would be perfect, a perfect long-term solution at safety. And you're basically taking him with your first-round pick. That's going to be better. You're probably not going to be picking low enough or high enough, excuse me, to grab a safety like Isaiah Simmons from Clemson. He's just going to be too good where he's not going to fall into the mid-20s if the Eagles do end up playing to their expectations. That is where they'll be picking. So for me, getting Minkah Fitzpatrick with that draft pick, with all, it's not like he's a rental player like Clowney, potentially. 4 more years of control of Fitzpatrick, it would make perfect sense for me. And at the same time, this year you do still have McLeod, you do still have Jenkins, but you're going to run three safeties most of the time anyway. You can have him in there at nickel. He has played a lot of slot corner for the Dolphins, so at times you can have him in there over Maddox. And even if you want Maddox out there over a third safety, I could see where McLeod is the one that comes off the field in nickel packages with Maddox on the field, and you have Fitzpatrick and Jenkins. I think it would just be such a great situation to have short-term and long-term. I mean, last year, you look at the first 11 weeks, Fitzpatrick, when targeted, when quarterbacks targeted Minkah Fitzpatrick, their quarterback rating was at a 48 after 11 weeks of the season. Quarterback rating throughout the entire year when they targeted Minkah Fitzpatrick was really bad. He had 2 interceptions, 80 tackles, 80-plus tackles. He is a guy that, again, can play deep at safety, sideline to sideline. He can line up in the box. Great against the run, a great tackler, really good at finishing hits, unlike Andrew Sandejo, who we saw in the NFC Championship game against LeGarrette Blount and then week one against Vernon Davis. So he can do that. He can cover as a cornerback. It would make so much sense. And if they can get him for a second-round pick, great. But even if they want, if the Dolphins want a first rounder, I'm all in on that. So if you ask me, if you do ask, I've talked to a couple people on Twitter right now. Yes, I would be all in on trading for Minkah Fitzpatrick if I am the Eagles, because I think safety is going to be one of, if not the only, immediate need in the 2020 NFL draft and in the offseason in general. So I'm for it. Go for it. It makes sense now. It makes you better now, and it makes you better in the long term. Coming up next right here on the Locked On Eagles podcast, I'm getting into Carson Wentz, who takes on the Atlanta Falcons this Sunday night, primetime football. It's his first quarterback battle of many this year, and I think it's right that it, you know, I said it last week on the podcast that it was right that it just made sense that he was kicking off this revenge tour, this bounce back year with the Washington Redskins. And I think going up against Matt Ryan for his first quarterback battle on primetime football against an Atlanta Falcons team that the Eagles have played in some pretty big games the past couple years without Carson Wentz, it makes sense for Wentz and the theme of his 2019 season. So I want to get into that coming up next right here on the Locked On Eagles podcast, brought to you by Vivid Seats. We all love a night out, whether it's seeing our favorite band in person or being there in the crowd to cheer on your favorite team. With the Vivid Seats app rewards loyalty program, you can attend the concert or show off your choice and earn credit towards your next live event. Vivid Seats is the top source for tickets for all the live events you want to go to. You can sort by price or look for seats in the section and row of your choice, all in the Vivid Seats app. To make things even better, Vivid Seats now has a loyalty program that allows fans to earn credit back. That's right, Vivid Seats Rewards. Go to the App Store or Google Play and download the Vivid Seats app. Fans are automatically enrolled in the Vivid Seats Rewards loyalty program and will enjoy credits on all their purchases as part of Vivid Seats Rewards. Every purchase is backed by a 100% buyer guarantee. From the biggest concerts and games to the hottest theaters, shows, and more, Vivid Seats has it all. Download the app and join the Vivid Seats Rewards loyalty program today. Make a memory that lasts a lifetime. And let the Vivid Seats app help you get to your favorite live event. Enter the promo code KICKOFF, K-I-C-K-O-F-F, no spaces, all caps, at checkout to receive a discount of up to $100. That's right, up to $100, listeners, using the promo code KICKOFF. We thank Vivid Seats for sponsoring the Locked On Eagles podcast today. All right, everybody, we are back. Welcome in. It's segment two of this Thursday edition of Locked On Eagles. Louis DiBiase joining you, Gino Camilleri off for the day. So I'm riding solo as we gear up for Eagles-Falcons on Sunday Night Football, first primetime game of the year, first one for Carson Wentz, too. And I think it's very fitting that he continues this revenge tour, or really the avenge tour, because he's avenging his revenge tour of 2018 that also got taken away by injury. It makes sense that in week two, it's going to be his first primetime game up against the Atlanta Falcons, and it's his first quarterback battle versus Matt Ryan. Matt Ryan, by the way, just he does not get enough credit for how good he's been since entering the league. You know, what now, 10-plus years? He is, for over a decade now, Matt Ryan has been one of the most consistent quarterbacks in the NFL for the Atlanta Falcons, right? I mean, everybody talks about Michael Vick as that Falcons legend, but, I mean, Matt Ryan is just, he came in the league in 2008, right? Has 3,400 yards that year, helps the team get to the playoffs. Since 2011, he has not had a season under 4,000 yards, and he's only had no years, where he has not surpassed 20 touchdowns. He's had years of 32 passing touchdowns, 38, right? He wins MVP in 2016, nearly a Super Bowl. Even last year, the Falcons missed the playoffs, so I feel like, again, he didn't get enough credit. The guy threw 35 touchdowns and only 7 interceptions with 4,924 passing yards. So this is going to be a really fun quarterback battle. I do think points are going to get put up between Carson Wentz and the Eagles offense and Matt Ryan and the Falcons defense. Again, Matt Ryan just does not get enough credit, and this is going to be one of many quarterback battles for Carson Wentz because he takes on this year Russell Wilson, he takes on Aaron Rodgers, he takes on Tom Brady, so he has plenty of star quarterbacks that he's going to be playing this year, so it will be cool to see that kick off Sunday night against Matt Ryan. And why this is significant for Wentz on Sunday Night Football, not only because he gets to go up against a star quarterback, but first off, he gets to put America on notice on primetime football that he is back, right? Because Carson Wentz, I feel like, has kind of gone under the radar because of the injuries the past 2 years that the likes of Patrick Mahomes, right, Jared Goff's of the world, they are getting more attention because Wentz has been injured. And I think that's kind of, it's been lost on people just how special he is when he's healthy. I think there's been more question marks about, because of Nick Foles' success with Philadelphia, if it really was Wentz more so than it was just the team. And I think Wentz is out to prove that wrong. And I don't think he has to prove it to people like me and a lot of you listeners out there. But that's the cool thing here on primetime football is I think with a really good game, much like he had last week against Washington, he can start to grab some of the headlines back. Not that that really matters to him, but I think that is a significant factor in this game on Sunday night. And also why this game is symbolic for Wentz is he's playing a lot of the teams that he would have played if he didn't get hurt in meaningful playoff, also big regular season games the past 2 years, right? He's taken on the Chicago Bears, who Eagles beat in the wild card round last year. They're taking on the Patriots, who we all know the Eagles beat in the Super Bowl. They are taking on the Minnesota Vikings, who they beat in the NFC Championship in 2017. And they're also taking on this week the Atlanta Falcons, which was the first game that started that Super Bowl run in the postseason. So he starts, as he gears up to take on all these teams, to right all these wrongs, to show that he could also have success with that same path that Nick Foles and the Eagles offense and team in general had against these teams in big moments. Now Wentz gets to play those teams, you know, individually this regular season, And it's fitting that Atlanta's the first one because that was that first playoff game that started that Eagles run. So I think it's very fitting for Wentz. He plays all the teams this year that the Eagles have taken down to have the success that they have the past 2 years while Wentz has been on the sideline. So he is out for revenge. He is out a lot of motivation going into his season. And I think on primetime football against an Atlanta Falcons team that he's missed out on two big games against the past 2 years, I think you're going to have a very motivated Carson Wentz. And against a great quarterback in Matt Ryan, it's going to be a fun battle for sure. All right, coming up next here on Locked on Eagles, another thing about Carson Wentz that's going to be big on Sunday night and could grab the attention of America is how he brought back the wow into his game, the wow factor, much like he did in 2017. He did it against Washington last week. Can he do it again against the Falcons defense? That's coming up next right here on the Locked on Eagles podcast. And guys, we are sponsored today by MyBookie. Let me ask you something. If you found $100 on the street, would you pick it up or would you keep walking? Of course, you take the money. So why do you keep picking winners and not betting on them? That's why I go to MyBookie. It's fast, it's easy, and they pay when you win. Let's face it, where you're betting is just as important as who you're betting on. I wouldn't be telling you guys to bet with them if they weren't the best. Do the smart thing. If you're going to bet on football this season, bet with MyBookie. Did you know you could bet on games after kickoff? That's right. If by the second half it looks like your bet is going to lose, you can always just take the other side. If you're the kind of guy that likes to bet a little and win a lot, try a parlay. If all your picks come through, you'll multiply your winnings, and no matter how you bet, the NFL season is the best time of year. Join now, and MyBookie will double your first deposit. Use the promo code LOCKEDON to activate the offer. Again, that's promo code LOCKEDON, LOCKEDON. Visit MyBookie.ag today. You play, you win, and you get paid. What's going on, everybody? We are back, wrapping up this Thursday edition of Locked on Eagles. The thing that really excited me most about Carson Wentz last week against the Redskins was the wow factor that he put back into his game, right? That we really, last year I thought he took some big steps despite being injured when it came to the passing game within the pocket, accuracy. I mean, his completion percentage went up by nearly 10%, almost had a 70% completion percentage, adjusted completion percentage when you put into drops into account, those kind of things. He did have a 70 plus percentage. So I thought he did get better in certain areas last year, but you didn't see those plays where you're just sitting there at the TV and your jaw drops and you're like, wow, you're just in disbelief. You're thinking that is why you take that guy in the second overall pick. That's why you move up for a player like that. It's why you give a guy like that a massive contract. The first Alshon touchdown, right? I mean, the angle he had to put that ball at on the run, stepping up in the pocket, rolling to his right, putting it just past the fingertips of a Redskins defensive lineman in the bucket of Alshon Jeffrey, right in his chest, only where he can get it with a linebacker draped all over him. You look at the DeSean Jackson bombs that were on the money. There was two third down plays that I was really happy about on 3rd and 7 and 3rd and 15, where he rolls to his left and just delivers dimes to Zach Ertz and Alshon Jeffrey throwing across his body. PFF charted Wentz, by the way, under pressure. And this is part of the wow factor, is when he is able to escape pressure and make something happen. Carson Wentz was 8 for 9, 132 yards, and 2 touchdowns when under pressure on Sunday against Washington. That's a perfect passer rating. Unbelievable. I mean, he had 2 of the top 10. Here's a stat, by the way, I love from Next Gen Stats that perfectly displays the quarterbacks that are worth the big bucks that you really, you build your franchise around, and it's improbable completions. And he, Carson Wentz, had 2 of the top 10 most improbable completions, according to Next Gen Stats, in week 1. And he had the number 1 most improbable pass completed last Sunday, and it was his 51-yard touchdown to DeSean Jackson. And once again, I mean, it's just, I love that stat because it's Wentz making things happen despite the odds being stacked against him, despite the look the defense is giving you, despite the play call. He's just, it's happening because of Carson Wentz. It's not happening because of anything else. He, with his arm talent, is willing that play into existence with his abilities. And that's what I absolutely love that stat from Next Gen. The number 1 most improbable completion, and both touchdowns to DeSean were in the top 10. So the wow factor is going to be huge. And I think that on Sunday night is going to really be big, especially if this is a high-scoring game. I kind of go back and forth because the Eagles made the last two games with Atlanta defensive. I am curious, though, on the road if it will be different. And also just on third downs, Carson Wentz on Sunday, 12 of 13, 199 yards and three touchdowns with nine first downs converted. I mean, that's just – it's wow. Like, you sit there and you think, wow, I cannot believe that this guy is the Eagles quarterback. I cannot believe he's healthy. And, you know, while it shouldn't shock you at this point, I just remember in 2017, the play after play, at least a couple times a week, you're just sitting there in disbelief, just laughing to yourself because you're like, I can't believe he just pulled that off. And I think that's such a huge factor going forward. It's such an entertaining product to watch, seeing number 11 under center. And it's going to be fun having the national audience be on alert on Sunday night, Eagles, Falcons. We'll get into more Eagles, Falcons coverage tomorrow. And then we might do a Saturday podcast as well. And then we'll recap the game on Sunday night. I'm Louie DiBiase signing off. As always, this is the Locked On Eagles podcast. Follow us on Twitter at Locked On Birds and at DiBiaseLOE. Check us out on LockedOnEagles.com and make sure you subscribe on any podcast platform. As always, thank you for downloading. Thank you for listening. And let's go, Birds.